Begin the current daf. Starts the Kama daf mem. Begin 11 lines down with the top of the Yamad. Where the Gemara continues the discussion in the previous daf and the previous Mishnah. The previous Mishnah discussed the specific case of when it's a shayr of a cheresh shayt of a cotton that gores another ox, that of a pekech, that of someone else. So the halacha was discussed both in the Mishnah and the Machlekes Tanoim in the Gemara regarding the halacha of an apotropos, regarding that they themselves are exempt because they have no das, they have no intellect, that of a deaf mute, the mentally deranged, and a minor. However, when there's an apotropos, there's someone that's appointed, a caretaker, then he serves as the proxy, as the bailam, as the responsibility for the damages that they cause. Now, although there was a machlekes regarding that, do we even appoint an apotropos regarding when the shayr is a tam, but everyone agreed regarding appointing an apotropos when it becomes an ox, that's a nakhin, that's a gorer, when it becomes to make it into a shayr mu'ud, and then there's going to be liability on the apotropos in regards to the estate. Now, that's that discussion that the Gemara continues with the following related discussion. Tarabon loin lebraisa. Apotroposim, the caretakers, as we said, everyone agrees, mishalmim min haliyah. They pay from their finest properties. In other words, regarding the damages that the shayr of the ox that they're watching of the estate. However, says the braisa, ve'ein mishalmim kaifer, where if the ox gores and kills a person, which generally the halacha is that a shayr hamu'ud that gores a person and kills him, then the owner has to pay kaifer, which is the value of the loss of life. That's the atonement money. In the case of the apotropos, he doesn't have to pay for kaifer. So this braisa, the Gemara explains, man tana, who is the tana of this braisa that holds obviously kufr is kapara, where there is a machlekes, as we'll shortly explain, regarding when there's the atonement money. Is that mammon? Is that for, like, when there's damages, you have to compensate? It's a monetary law? Or is it, no, it's more regarding a person's atonement. It's between him and Hashem that it atones for him. So who's the one that obviously holds, which is the Tana of this Braisa, that the kafir is an atonement? Now, that's why the Tana of this Braisa holds, v'yasmei lav b'nei kapara ninu, orphans, they're not people that need atonement. They're not a bar mitzvah. They're not people of obligation. They don't need to have an atonement for something that they do or that their animals do. So therefore, obviously, the Tana of this Braisa who is saying that the caretakers who represent the orphans, although there is going to be a liability for Nezek, but there's not going to be a responsibility for Kaifer because that's not monetary law. That's regarding atonement. And him, the apotropos and his representation of the assignment don't need kapar. So Amrav Chizdei says, Rabbi Shmuel benoy Shabiach min Bereki. It's the opinion of Rabbi Shmuel, who's the son of Rabbi Yechon, the son of Bereka. The Tanakh in the Braisa, similarly, this machlekes that we were just talking about. The Braisa quotes the pasuk in Shemais, which talks about this halacha regarding if an ox gores and kills a person. It says, "V'nasan pidyon nafshi." So the owner of this ox has to give the redemption of his soul. Now, whose soul? Who does he have to pay the value of as an atonement? So the Tanakhama holds Demei Nizik. It's the value of the damaged party. The person that died, his value, how much he would have been sold as a slave, has to be given to his inheritors as payment for Kaifer. Whereas the Bishmol, Benoy, Shabir, and Berekheimer, he says, no, Demei Mazik. The value of the owner of the ox, his value, it's his fault. He had his ox that killed somebody. It's his liability. He has to give his value as atonement money. So says Rav Chizda, my labok and milfagi. Isn't this what they're disagreeing about? Where the Rabban and the Tanakama hold Savri Kufrim Amainahu, they hold that the Kaifer, the atonement money, is monetary law. Now that's why it's going to be Demei Nizik, the value of the damaged party, because it's like any damage. You have to compensate. So here also, you're compensating the value of this person that was murdered, that was killed, and you have to pay his value. That's money. Whereas Rabbi Shmuel ben Shabbich ben Berekhah Savri Kufr Kapara, obviously he held that atonement is atonement because of its compensation. Why are you giving the Mazik, the owner that's alive, his value, what does that have to do with the guy who was killed? Obviously, it's because he has the blood on his hands. It's his own soul that needs the atonement. He has to give his value as a pidyon, as a redemption. That's why he gives Demei Mazik. So similarly, says Rav Chizda, the town of this Braisa must be going like Rabbi Shmuel, Benoy, Shabbich, and Bereka, who he's the one that holds Kufr Kapar, and that's why the apotropos would be exempt, because he's representing the Yisaimim, who are not Benoy Kapar. And that Amar Papa says, like, no. Do kuli am a kufr kaparu. Actually, even the Chacham agree to Rabbi Shmuel ben Eshel b'Rechem Breka that kaifer is not mammon. It is kapar. Therefore, the Tana, the Braisa, could be like everybody. Now, if that's the case, then what are they disagreeing about? Why do the Rabbanan then say it's Demei Nizik? says, Papa, this is what they're disagreeing about. Everyone holds his atonement for the mazik, for his soul. But Rabban and Savi, ben Nizik Shaminan, the rabbis, the Tanakama held that we evaluate the kaifer of the mazik with the body of the one who died. And that's how the mazik gets his atonement. He says, no, we evaluated with the mazik, but everyone agrees it's for the purpose of not mammon, but rather of kapara. But when you're getting your kapara, whose soul do you redeem? The murderer or the murdered? That's their machlekes. So the Gemara explains, my tamid rabbanon. So what's the reason of the rabbanon that say you evaluate it with the nizik? Seemingly, like Rabbi Shmuel ben Eshem Berichah says, it should be with the mazik. It's his own soul that needs redeeming, and they agree to that concept. So why do we base it on the nizik? So that the Gemara explains, nemar shisa lamata, says the term of yushas, of placing, of which is, it says later on regarding what we're discussing over here, when a mu'id, a shara mu'id, kills a person, where it says in the pasuk, im kafer yushas alav, that if there's going to be placed upon him this need to atone his soul. Now, nemar shisa lamala, and it also used the same term of yashas previously in the pasukim over there, regarding what's called dumei vladis, when two men are fighting, and then they, instead of punching one guy, he punches a pregnant woman that's nearby, and then she miscarries. So that the value of the fetus, which was miscarried, there the pasuk says, "Kasha yashas alav bala isha," that the husband of that woman who now miscarried because of that guy who attacked her, then it gets placed upon him the requirement of compensating the dmei avladis. Now, so therefore, says the Gemara, "Mala halim b'denizik," just like over there by the woman that miscarried. With the way the evaluation of the payment is in the damaged party. You evaluate how much was the value of the fetus that to compensate the husband of the woman. Afkam, but in this, it's here also the Rabban hold that when it says the same term of Yushas over here by Kaifer, how do we evaluate it? Based on the damaged party, the guy who got killed, we evaluate his value, and that's the amount of the Kaifer. Now, but Rabbi Shmuel ben Shal Rabbi Yechim and Berekas, he holds, no, read the Pasuk. It says, v'nasan, that he gives, who's he? The mazik has to pay, pidyon nafshoi, the redemption of his soul, so that's what it says. So obviously, it says, Rabbi Shmuel, it's in the mazik, because it's saying, he gives his soul. Who's he? Who's giving? Who's paying? It's the mazik, the owner of the shor hamu'id, and that's why it's his own soul. That's why they say, he says, b'de mazik shemina. Now, Rabbanan, they respond to that. They say, in, yes. And pidyon nafshoi, ksiv, correct. We agree to you that it's kufr kapara. He gives the redemption of his own soul. But miu ki shemina, b'ninizik shemina. But how do we evaluate the redemption of his soul? How will he redeem his soul to Hashem, this, that he has blood on his hands, that his ox killed a person? Through the value of the nizik. That is, as he learned, because Shisa teaches us that the evaluation is through the damaged party. Now, continue on this topic of kafir. The Gemara says, Mishabeach le rava l'rav Nachman. Rava was praising to Rav Nachman, but Rav Acha bar Yaakov, regarding Rav Acha bar Yaakov, the Adam Gadol, that is a great person. So Amalei, so Rav Nachman said to Rava, L'kashayav eliyatcha, when this great person that you told me comes to you, have you liyadi, bring him to me. So kiyas l'gabei, so when this Rav Acha bar Yaakov came to Rav Nachman, so Amalei, Rav Nachman said to him, Boi minei milsa, ask for me a question. So Boi minei asked him the following question. Shur shal shnei shutfen, an ox that's owned by two partners. Ketzad mishalman kaifer, how if let's say their ox that becomes a shramud and kills a person, how do they pay kaifer? Now the understanding of the question is because regards to damages, so that's very simple. One owner pays half and the other owner pays half, because regarding damages, the primary concern of the Torah is that the nizik gets nezik shalom, which he'll get. But regarding kaifer, the halacha is, as we just explained according to everyone, it's going to be an atonement for the mazik. Now, so therefore, both partners need to have an atonement. Now, the problem is that, as the Gemara will explain, you can't get an atonement with half of the kaifer. So he explains his question. Mishtui say mishalim high kaifer v'hai kaifer, that each one then pays the full amount of the atonement. Now, the difficulty with that is kaifer echadam rachman of lishnei kaifer. The Torah says that you have to give one kaifer, not two. And if two partners are each giving the whole thing, they're giving two, not one. And if you're going to say hai chatzi kaifer v'hai chatzi kaifer, that each owner gives half of the atonement, well, kaifer shalom rachman of lechatzi kaifer, the Torah says it has to be a whole atonement, not a half. So how do you work it out when you have two partners? So the Gemara tells us that Adi Yosef Ukuma Ayinba, while Rav Nachman was sitting and analyzing and thinking about this good question, so Amalei, Rav Acham Yaakov said, gave him another question. He said, Tanan, it learns in the Mishnah, it says in the Mishnah Erechin as follows. It says, the Chiyav Erechin, people that have requirements to Hekdesh of Erechin, which is Halacha in the Torah, regarding if someone says, Erech plainly alai, depending on the gender and the age of that individual, the Torah sets certain amounts you have to give to Hekdesh regarding. So if someone did that and he has this obligation to Hekdesh, says the Mishnah, Mimashkin Noisai, so then we take a deposit from him, we take something as security from this person. The reason being is because since his obligation is not for any atonement, it's just some type of like a donation in through the medium of Erechin, so therefore he's going to delay, he's going to push it over, he's like, oh, it's okay, because it's not something that it feels like, it's something that he did wrong. So the treasurer goes and takes a security from the person. Whereas Chiv Echatois V'Hashomis, but if someone, let's say, has an obligation of a certain type of sin that he did, which requires either Karban Chatos or Karban Asham, then says the Mishnah, In Mamashkin Noisen, then we don't take security from the person, because since the Karban, the obligation he has to Hekdesh is for atonement, so he's not going to delay it because no one wants to feel like they have sin on their hands. He'll be quick as possible to bring his Karban. That's what it says in the Mishnah Masech Taserich. So that asked Rav Acha Bayakiv to Rav Nachman, Chiva Kaifrin Mai. What would the halacha be regarding when a person has obligation, where his ox was a sharamud and killed someone, and he has obligation to the Yershim of atonement money? What would the halacha be in that situation? As he explains the question. Do we say Kivin de Kaparahu? Since we say, as we said, Kaifer is Kufr, is Kapar, is atonement. So Kachatas for Ashim Dami. So therefore, it's like a Karma Chatas and Ashim, which is for atonement. And therefore, Mach Mechamer Levei. It'll be stringent upon the owner of the Shar HaMazik. And therefore, we don't have to take security from him because he's going to want to quickly pay it up as soon as possible. Or maybe do we say that, no, here it's different. Since who does he pay up to? Not to Hekdesh. Doesn't mean his carbon to the Mizbeach. He has to pay it up to the dead person's children, to his friends. So therefore he considers it like money, like monetary law, and not like something that has to be brought to Hashem. And therefore, although it's atonement, it's not going to be stringent to him. And therefore you have to take collateral, you have to take security from him. Or inami. Or in other approaches, kiven dehu loichata, since he didn't sin, he didn't do an aver himself, umamainuhu de azik, you're right, it's atonement money, but it's not him that he did anything wrong, it's his money, his ox that went and did something wrong. So again, loicham and milsa levei, and therefore maybe it's not going to be stringent upon him, ubayim ashkaini, and therefore although it's for atonement, maybe you still need to take security from him. So Rav Nachman responded to me, he says, Shavkin, leave me alone, istagur bekamaisa. I'm still locked up. I'm still silenced from the first question you have. I'm still thinking about that. Don't ask me more questions. And that's how he ended his discussion. Now the Gemara continues regarding the topic that we're discussing about, and specifically regarding the Machlekes in the Mishnah, which we spoke about regarding Rishus Mishana. Does a change of domain change the halacha and revert, although it became a mood, back to Tam? So the Gemara introduces a related discussion. Tarabanu Linda Braisa. Sha'oli b'cheskes Tam. Somebody borrowed an ox from his friend with the assumption that it was a tam, that it had not yet gored three times. Now, v'nimtzamu, it turns out, he was misinformed. Turns out it's a shirhamu, this is an ox that has a reputation, it's already gored more than three times. And now, when it was by the borrower's house, it went and gored again. So says the Braisa, b'ayla mishal min chatzi nezik, so the original owner has to pay half the damages. V'shoyl mishal min chatzi nezik, and the borrower has to pay the other half of the damages. Now, the reason for that is because at least a tam was a responsibility. The onus was on the shel to watch it, and therefore he's got to pay as if it was a tam, which is chatzin ezek. Whereas, however, the owner, since he didn't inform him that it's a mu'ud, that's his negligence, and therefore he has to pay the other half of the damages, which completes it to the nezek shalom. Now, the Bresa says, let's say who would beveis shel. Let's say somewhat the other way around. Let's say, during the time that he had borrowed it, the borrower the ox had a rampage when it was by the borrower, and it gored three times in the house of the borrower. And then the borrower returns it to the owner, now as a mu'at. And then the damages. Says the Braisa, Bailman Mishal Mechatzin Nazik, the owner only has to pay half the damages. And the borrower, now he's totally exempt. And the Gemara later on is going to ask, it sounds like, why would you say that halacha? It's a shar hamu'ud. Why is the nizik only getting chatzi nezik, where the owner is only paying half the damages and the shayl is totally exempt, it sounds like because of the halacha of rishus meshana, which is since it changed domain from the borrower back to the owner, although it was a mu'id by the borrower, goes back to being a tam, and the tam only has to pay chatzi nezik. Now, however, the Gemara is going to ask, the reisha seemingly sounds like that there is no rishus meshana, because we said if it's a mu'id and the shayl didn't know about it, and it goes back, and it goes to the shayl, then they do have to pay nezik shalom. It's just that the bialim have to pay half, and the shayl has to pay half. Why? If you say rishos meshana, it should only have to be chatzi nezik and not more. So the Gemara first explains the halacha that the Braisa opened up with. Amamar, the Tana of the Braisa said, sholi b'cheskes tam. If the borrower borrowed it with the assumption, and that was where he was notified that it was a tam, but then it's a mu'ud, it turns out that it's a mu'ud. Said the Braisa, bialim misham chatzi nezik, v'shayl chatzi nezik, so the owners have to pay half the damages and the borrower has to pay the other half of the damages. And that the Gemara asks, v'mai, but why? Why does the borrower even have to pay chatzi nezik? Leimelei, the borrower should tell to the original owner, tu rishi'ili, I borrowed an ox. Ari leishi'ili, I don't borrow a lion. In other words, I never accepted upon myself a liability of watching a lion. In other words, had it been a tam, it would never have gored in the first place. Don't tell me, okay, fine, you would have to pay chatzi nezik anyway, so look, I'll pay half and you pay half. No, I shouldn't even have to pay half, says the borrower, because if it would have been a tam, it wouldn't have gored in the first place. I wouldn't have been liable even chatzi nezik. This is a crazy type of an ox. It's like a lion. What would you expect? I would never have taken the responsibility, and therefore you should have to pay all the nezik shalom yourself. So I'm a Rav. Rav says, Hacha ma'iskino, what we're talking about over here is a case, shehikr b'yishu nakhim. The borrower recognized that this is a goring type of an ox. Now, he just didn't know that it actually had gored already three times. So therefore, he did accept upon himself a sure tam, but a sure tam that was a gorer type. And therefore, he should have protected it because he knew this is a type of an ox that's going to gore. Now, however, regards to the fact of nezik shalom, you're right, that he didn't know, and therefore he doesn't have to pay the other half. But for sure, you have to pay the chatzi nezik part because you knew that it was that type of an ox. But the Gemara continues asking, V'neimelei, but let the borrower tell to the owner, Tam she'ili, mudlei she'ili, I borrowed a shur tam, even though I knew that it was a gor, but I only borrowed a tam, and I never borrowed a shur hamud, so why should I have this responsibility? Now, so on that, the Gemara says, Mishum d'omelei, it doesn't make a difference. The owner will tell him, safe. At the end of the day, e tam hava, even if it would have been a shur tam, and again, in the case we described it is where you knew that this is a gor type of an ox, pal ganiska bais l'shlume, you would have to pay anyway chatzi nezik. So hashtanami zil shlim pal ganiska. So here also, I'm not asking you to pay more than chatzi nezik. I'm paying the other half of the damages because you weren't notified that it was a mu'ud. But the fact that it was a mu'ud doesn't really change the halacha requirements that you had and therefore that you have to pay up the chatzi nezik. The Gemara still asks, but v'neimelei, still the shel could tell the mashal, itam hava, had it been a shur tam, mishtala meguvvai, then, as we know, the halacha is unique for the shur tam versus the shur mu'ud. You could only collect from the body of the ox. And therefore, it would only have been paid from the ox and not from where they're collecting from me now, from my bank account. That's a huge difference. Now that it's a shur mu'ud, why do I have to pay for my own money? So on that, the mashal will tell him, Mishum d'amali, he'll say, doesn't make a difference. Saif, at the end of the day, what are you going to say? So they would have collected from the ox? Atlav Tura Bay Shlumi Lididi, you're a borrower. Shayil is chayiv in all einsin and all responsibilities and liabilities for the ox. You, with your negligence, you didn't watch it well. You have to pay chatzi nezik. The fact that they're taking from your bank account, who cares? If they were to take it from the ox, then you would have had to pay me up and compensate that amount correlating from the ox anyway, because you're a shayil. So it doesn't make a difference whether it was a tam or was a mu'ud. The Gemara continues asking, V'neimelei, but let the shayl tell to the lender, as we continue on Tamid Beis, im tam hava, had it been a shur tam, meidino umaftarina, I would have admitted it right away and been exempted. And the reason being is because the halacha is chatzi nezik is a knas, it's a penalty, it's not exactly the amount that was damaged. That gives the halachic definition of a knas. And the halacha is, as we know, meidino b'knas is pater. If you admit to a halachic requirement of a knas, you're actually exempt. So what do you mean? That's a huge difference. I would have been exempt. Now, moreover, continues the Gemara, Vafil Lamanda Amapalkin is Kimamainan, although this is a machlekis, if chatzi nezik is a knas. And there is an opinion that holds that it's not a knas, it actually is considered mumin, which you can't just be maide mumin and be pati, you would be chayiv. Still, namely, the question is still relevant because the borrower could tell the mashal, e tam hu, if it would have been a tam, not like now that I find out that it was a mu'id, have a marikna leila agma, I would have taken it away and hid it in the swamp. What would that have gained? because then they wouldn't have been able to collect from me. Because the only way they could collect is through the body of the ox. Now, so then we said before, okay, fine, so they'll collect from the body of the ox, then you'll have to compensate. He says, no, they wouldn't have even collected from the body of the ox. I would have hid the ox. They could not have collected, and then I wouldn't have had to have any responsibility and liability. But now that it's a muad, they could go collect from me, from my assets, and that's something that's only because I didn't know. And why should I have to pay at all? So Ella, rather, the Gemara says, Hachamai Eskinan, what we must be talking about to answer the question that we just asked, was going to Akdim Beidin of Etafse, where the court went right away and grabbed it away. So therefore, he could not have then made that claim of saying, oh, I would have hid in the swamp, because he didn't have a chance even. They went and grabbed it away, and that's why that takes away that claim. And hence, all the other questions we asked before, there are no halachic differences for him regarding Tamamud, and that's why he pays half and the owner pays half. Now, but however, the Gemara does ask now, based on the answer we just gave, that the courts grabbed it away. So the Gemara asks now the other way around. If that's the case, then why does the owner pay the other half of the damages? Namely, let him tell the borrower, you have my ox grabbed away in the hands of somebody that I can't litigate against them, because now that the courts have it, there's nothing I could do about it. That's your negligence. If you would have held on to it, maybe I would have been able to do something about it. Now that the courts have it, there's nothing I could do about it. And now, why should I have to pay at all? That's your fault. You should have to pay, he tells to the shell, all of the damages, because it's your fault that my ox was taken away. So that the Gemara says, no, Mishum the Amalek, because the shell will tell him, I don't understand you. Ihad risin nahalech, had I given it to you before the courts would have grabbed it away, lav minachav eshaklele, would they not have taken it away from you? What's the difference? It doesn't make a difference, and therefore there's no. I'm not holding any more responsibility, says the shell, than chatzin nezik, and you pay the other half. But the Gemara says, but v'neimalei, let the mashal tell the shell. No, ihad risin nahalei, had you returned it to me, havemarikne lele agma, I would have hid it in the swamp. If I would have hid it in the swamp, then they wouldn't have been able to collect from me, and then I wouldn't have lost my share. Now it's your fault, and I don't want to pay, says the Bailam to the Shal, the other half of the damages. So on that, the Gemara says, no, Mishum the Amalek, because the Shal will tell him, saif, at the end of the day, lav ma'li hav mishtalmi, as we said, we're just talking about a case where it was turned out that was a shar hamu'ud. Who cares, says the Shal to the Mashal, you're going to hide your ox. Yay, they'll just go to your bank account, they'll collect from all your choice assets, because it's a shar hamu'ud. What's the difference that you hide the ox? Now, however, on this answer, the Gemara asks, Hani chehecha de islay nichse. That only works well if he has other properties. But hecha de leslay nichse ma'ekalameme, but where he has no other properties, and the only one he has was this ox, then he has a valid claim against the shell. Because as we described the case, the only way it works is when the courts grabbed it first. If the courts grabbed it first, he says, so that's your fault. Why do you let the courts get a hold of it? Now, says the original owner, now I have nothing, I can't do anything about it. Now it's your fault. So on that, the Gemara says, no, Mishum the Amalei, because the shell could tell him, it's not true. The fact that the courts grabbed it for the damaged party is actually not a negligence of mine, it's actually rightful that I did that. Why? And therefore, it is not something that I did wrong, that you should have a claim against me saying, oh, why didn't you watch it? Even though the ox had gored, you should have quickly whisked it away and we could have done something, we could have hit it, and then they wouldn't have been able to collect. So it says, no, it says the borrower, I had the responsibility to do that. And therefore, the fact that they took it, I'm going to pay chatz nezik, and you're going to pay chatz nezik. Why? Because just like I had responsibility to you. You're right. You're coming with a complaint saying, why didn't you watch my ox? Forget about that gourd, you should have whisked it away. He says, you're right, I have responsibility to you. I also had a responsibility to the damaged party. And that's the courts who took it for the damaged party. Min Reb Nosson, from the Halacha of Reb Nosson, the Tanakh Lunda Braisa. Reb Nosson Naimer, he says, Minayin L'Noisha B'Chaveri Mana. How do we know regarding someone that's coming to collect from his friend the mana, V'Chaveri B'Chaveri, and that guy who he's collecting from is trying to collect from somebody else that amount of money? Minayin, says Reb Nosson, from where do we know, Shemitzin Mizeh V'Noisim L'Zeh, that you take away from one and you give it to the other? In other words, if there's A, B, and C, A's collecting from B and B's collecting from C, then we actually take from C and we give it to A. We skip over B. How do we know that we do that? Tamalumah, that's what the Pasuk teaches. In Bamidbar, Benosan LaShar HaShamlai, that you give it to the one that the obligation is to, which means to say that not to the one that you borrowed from, the one that he borrowed from, which is the liability to, that's what's called Shibud de Reb Nosson. And therefore he says the fact that the courts took it, it's not actually something that I did wrong. It's actually something that I was required to do because of Shibud Jab Nasan, because although I owe you, but you owe the damage party. And therefore, it's not something that I did wrong. And that's what the halacha is, that once it was taken, Chatzi Nezik is by the Shayil, and Chatzi Nezik is for the original owner. That explains the first halacha of the Braisa. Now the Gemara explains the second halacha. The Braisa said the other way around. Hud bevei shayil, let's say it became a sharmud in the house when it was borrowed by the borrower, where it gored three times, it became a sharmud, and then mechzir lebailam, and then it was returned to the original owner. And then it gores, said the Braisa, bailam mishal mechatzin nezik, so the original owners pay only half the damages, v'sharal patim mekulam, and the borrower is exempt. Now, the Gemara asks, seemingly, safe the halacha, the safe is the halacha that we know of rishus mishana, the change of domain changes, downgrades, negates halachic status of mu'ud, and it goes starts over because the owner defines criterion of the ox, if it's a shara mu'ud or not. When it changes owners, now it starts over, it goes back to tam. That's why, although it's a shara mu'ud by the shayil, now it goes back to the original owner. It's a shara tam, so it pays on the chatzin nezik, and that has nothing to do, there's no liability now for the shayil, because his mu'ud has nothing to do, it's not even the mu'ud anymore, it's back to tam. Now the problem is that Reisha, but the halacha of the Reisha sounds like Rishus Ein Mishana. The previous halacha sounds the exact opposite. That as if the change of domain does not downgrade it from a mu'ud to a tam, because the Reisha said the halacha that when there was a mu'ud in the house of the owner, and then it got lent to the borrower and it damaged over there, so we said that there is a liability of that damage. We said it's split between the shayil and the mashal, but the liability is for Nezik Shalom. But why is there liability if we said a change of domain should downgrade it and it shouldn't even be considered a mood? It should be considered just a share time. It should only be Chatzi Nezik. So there's three approaches in the Gemara. Amr B'Yechanan, he says, you're right, Tavra, that they're definitely difficult, the Reisha and the Sefer, and that is Misha Shanazu, Lishanazu. The one who learned, who taught the first halach in the Braisa, did not teach the second halach in the Braisa. They were taught by two different Tanoim, one holding Rishus Ein Mishana, and the other one holding Rishus Mishana. That's one approach. Rabba Amma, he says no. Midereisha Rishus Ein Mishana, from the fact that the halach of the Reisha, as we proved, that a change of domain does not downgrade it from Mu'ud to Tam. That's why there is a liability of Nezik Shalom by the Shayil. Seifa Nami Rishus Ein Mishana. So too, the halach of the Seifa is also going along that same halachic framework of a change of domain does not downgrade it from a mu'ud to a tam. No. So then the Seifa Hainu Taima. So what's the reason then of the Seifa that we said seemingly that it goes back to a status of tam? That's for a different reason. Shem the Amalek is the owner could tell to the Shayil, Lav Kol Keminach Dimiyadis Leilu Turoi. Who do you think you are in making my Shur into a Shur mu'ud? And as Rashi says, 2 points. First of all, it's not yours. And moreover, you weren't careful in safeguarding it. You can't go ahead and define the characteristic of my shur as a shur amud. You don't qualify. Because it's not yours and you're not watching it appropriately. When it's by me, it doesn't gore. And therefore, it's not a shur amud. And that's why, although it was a mood by the shayil, that has nothing to do with the mashal. It doesn't become that status of mood by him. And that's why it's going to be considered like a shur tam. And that's why it's only going to be chatzi nezik. A third approach, Rav Papa, he says the other way around. He says, "Min the sefer is just mishana." From the fact that the halacha of the sefer tells us a change of domain does change it, because we see that although it was amud by the shayil, when it goes back to the original owner, it goes back to being a tam. Reishin nami rishus mishana. So then, the first halacha is also going along the lines of this halacha of that a change of domain does change the halacha. Now, what he means to say is that it's one tana. In other words, that the Tana of the Reisha, the one who says the first halacha, holds like what we learned in the second halacha of the Braisa, that a change of domain changes the halacha. But that's not the reason for the halacha in the Reisha. V'Reisha Hainu Taima, the reason for the halacha of the Reisha, why do we say that it remains in its chazaka of being a mu'id, and there is no halacha of Shin Rishus, which we're saying that this Tana agrees to that it would change it. So why by the shayil do we still consider it a mu'id, and it doesn't change when it went from the owner to the shayil to be considered a tam? Is mishum d'chal makam shahaylich, because wherever this animal goes, shame ba'olav olav. It has the designation of the owner on it, meaning it's still owned by that person. So therefore, when it goes to the shayil, that's not a shina rishus. It's not a change of domain. It's still this owner's animal. Whereas when it goes from the shayil to the owner, that we say, that is changed. That's going back to the original owner. That's why the halacha is going to be over the chatzin nezik. But from the mashal to the shayil, that is not a change of domain. And that's why it still retains its status of a mu'id. And that's why it's going to be nezik shalom, which is split between the mashal and the shayil. Now the Gemara continues explaining the halacha of our Mishnah that then concluded by saying, Sheherat Stadin, an ox that was taught to gore, it was a learned behavior that was taught to it by people in a chayiv misa. So then, v'chulu, etc., there's no liability of death, although when the animal gores a person, he has to be stoned. In this case, he doesn't get stoned. As we taught, because it says, ki'igach v'lo yishigachuhu, only if it gores on its own, not if it was forced or taught to gore. Now, Ibayilu, the following question regarding this case of an animal that was taught to gore. Ma'u l'gabim mizbeach. What is the halacha regarding such an animal to be brought as a carbon on the mizbeach? And that is because, as the Gemara will shortly explain, regarding an animal that gored on its own willingly and killed a person, that's obvious to the Gemara that such an animal is possible, invalid to be brought as a carbon. But what's the halacha regarding an animal that was forced, that was taught to gore, and it didn't gore from its very own volition? So that's a machlekes. Rava Makashe says it's valid to be brought as a carbon. Ushmul am apostle, and Shmuel says it's invalid. And the Gemara explains. Rava Makashe onasu, he says it's kasher because it was forced. It's not something inherently intrinsic with the animal itself, and therefore it's kosher to be brought as a carbon. Shmuel HaMapasli says, no, it's invalid, because Hari Neved by Aver, because a sin was ultimately done with this animal. It killed a person, although that it was done to it through people, but it's the animal, this animal did the sin, and therefore it's forbidden to be brought as a carbon on Mizbeach. Now, the Gemara says, Meisvei, the Gemara asks from the following Braisa on the opinion of Shmuel, who holds that an animal that was forced, that was nenas, to gore, is still going to be pasul on the Mizbeach. And the question is from the following pasuk. The pasuk in the beginning of a Yikra opens up, it says, Dabel b'nei Yisrael v'amarta, let me speak to the Jewish people, and you should talk to them, and tell them, Odim ki yakrim mikem karban l'Hashem, a person that's going to bring a karban to Hashem from you. And it concludes with, from what can you bring a karban? So it says, mina behema, from the animals, mina bakar, u'mina tzayin, takribes karbanchem, from these things you could bring your karbanas. Now, all these terminologies are lashon miyut, they're exclusionary terms. When it says min ha-behema, so you can bring it from the animal, sounds like from some of the animals and not all of them. That's what from means. So what is that coming to exclude? Says the Braisa, lohitzi es ha-roiva v'sanirva, that comes to exclude an animal that sodomized a person or was sodomized by a person. Now, as Rashi points out, it must be talking about that. How do we know that this happened, this act of bestiality, was through an individual, a lone witness, or by the admission of the owners, and that's why the animal wasn't stoned, because it wouldn't even be around to be a question if it could be brought in the Mizbeach or not, because the act of Reva and Nirva actually gets stoned, but that's only with two witnesses if it wasn't, so it's not getting stoned. Now the question is it going, so that's what the Braisa says, so therefore, although it's not being stoned, it's going to be possible to be brought on the Mizbeach. Then when it says min habakar, you can bring the carbon from the cattle, that's lohitzi es haneved, what's from, coming to exclude over here, to exclude an animal that was made into an idol, and it was bowed down to, it was worshipped, that an animal that cannot be brought as a carbon on Mizbeach. And when it says min hatzayin, from the flock, is lohitzi es hamukza, so exclude an animal that was designated to be brought as a carbon for avodah zarah, that animal can now not be brought as a carbon. And now when it says u min hatzayin, which is another, and from, which the Vav is coming to add regarding this exclusionary term, is lohitzi es negeach. It's coming to exclude an animal that gored and killed a person, again, either through the testimony of a lone witness or through the admission of the owners, and therefore it's not going to be stoned. So although it's still alive, it cannot be brought as a carbon on the Mizbeach. That's the first half of the Braisa. Now, continues the Braisa, Amrib Shimon. Shimon says, in explanation, says, Emnema Raiva, if we have, as we said, the first term, Mina Behema, is excluding an animal that's sodomized as being brought as a carbon on the Mizbeach. So, Loma Nema Noigech, so why do we need another Pasuk to teach us regarding the animal that gored and killed a person that it can't be brought as a carbon? And so, to the other way around, Vimnema Noigech, and if there's a source telling us you can't bring an animal that gored, Loma Nema Raiva, then why do we need a Pasuk regarding the animal that's sodomized? And the reason being is because they're really both similar in regards to a sin was done through them and regarding the fact that they get stoned when there's witnesses to that act, when there are witnesses that he gored a person and killed him, the axe gets killed. When there are witnesses that say that there was an act of bestiality between this animal and the person, the animal gets killed. So essentially they're the same, so why do we need two sources to exclude them? Once you know one, you would know the other one too. So that says, Reb Shimon, no. Because there is a certain quality that applies to the animal that was sodomized, that's sodomized to the that doesn't apply to the animal that gored. And the other way is true too. There's a quality that there is by the animal that gored and killed the person that doesn't apply to the raiva, and therefore you would not know one from the other, as Rib Shimon explains. Raiva asa b'inis karatzin. Regarding the animal that sodomizes a person, a woman, there the Torah made that whether it was done willingly, it's the same even if it was done against the animal's will. Because one of the cases is a nirva, an animal that was sodomized by a man. That's obviously being done against the animal's own willingness. And yet still, we see that just like by raiva, when the animal sodomizes, so to nirva, the animal gets stoned. As the pasuk says, v'esa b'hema tayrogu, the animal gets killed in either way, whether it was with a male or with a female person. So we see that the halachic is very stringent by raiva, even when it's einis, whereas nagich le'osabo einis karatzin. However, regarding the animal that gores and kills a person, there the halacha is not the same in regards to when it does it against its will, in contrast to when it does it willingly, because that's the halacha of our Mishnah that we said. It says, ki yigach, when it gores on its own, v'lo yishi yiguhu, not when we make it to gore. So we see that if we only said raiva, maybe we would have said there it can't be brought as a carbon. As we see, it's so stringent that even oinus is like ratzin, but we wouldn't have known regarding nagach. Now, so to nagach, mishalm kaifer. An animal that gores and kills a person, the owner of that ox has to pay atonement money. Whereas raiva, ain't mishalm as a kaifer. Regarding the owner of the animal that sodomize the person, the owner does not have to pay kaifer, which Gemara will later on explain what does that mean, where does kaifer come in over here regarding bestiality, no person is being killed, why would there be a lacha of kaifer? But either way, so that's Reb Shimon saying that the stringency that applies to neigech, maybe that's excluded in contrast to raiva. So says Reb Shimon, lafika chutzuch lema raiva v'chutzuch lema neigech. That's why the brisa, the pasuk had to say both psukim to exclude from mina behema and from umin hatzain, to exclude both that an animal that sodomizes and the animal that gores cannot be brought as a carbon. That's the brisa. But one thing the Gemara asks on Shmuel, Ketani Mias, one thing we see from the brisa is that it says, Reva asa b'oinis karatzin. Regarding an animal that sodomizes, there the halacha is that we considered both when it does it like ratzin, and even when it does it oinis, there's going to be the halacha of Reva that will get stoned. Whereas we said, Noigech loyosaba in this karatzin, regarding the animal that gores, we didn't make it when it does it forcefully, when they taught him to gore, as when it does it on its own. So ask the Gemara, Lamai Halchasa, for what halacha? Lavlo carbon? Isn't it coming to tell us regarding which is the context of what the Bryce is actually talking about there in the Psukim, which is regarding the halacha of carbon? That it's saying that actually it's going to be kosher when it's oinis. It's only karatzin that then we said that has the halacha of an animal that gores, that's going to be possible carbon. That's not like Shmuel, who said that it's actually going to be possible not only when it does a ratzin, but even when it's ba'oinis, even when it was shi gechuhu that they taught it to gore. So I think Mara says, no, loy, like tala. It was actually regarding killing the shur that was a nagach. In other words, the Bryce is saying that regarding the ox that gores, we didn't make oinus karatzin regarding being stoned when there's witnesses, which is the halacha of our Mishnah. And therefore, this is what the Bryce is saying. Had the Torah not had a specific exclusion regarding the halacha of carbon for nagach, for the animal that gores, we would not have learned it from the exclusionary halacha of raiva of an animal that sodomizes. Even when the ox would do it baratzin, would have gored on its own, we would not have learned that it's going to be possible for a carbon because it's more lenient than the halacha of raiva regarding the halacha of being stoned. Regarding being stoned, there raiva is the same oinis karatzin. However, that halacha everyone agrees to, but in our Mishnah, that regarding the shur that gored, it doesn't get stoned if it did it ba'oinis, it's only if it did it baratzin. So we see a leniency regarding nagach. So therefore, maybe we would have said that actually you're never going to have the exclusionary halacha regarding it being brought as a carbon. That's why we need to have a halacha, but not that it's saying that we don't make it oinis karatzin regarding carbon. Regarding carbon, no, once we're excluding it, we exclude it both regarding rotzin, even regarding oinis, like Shmuel. The Gemara actually says, hachanam mistabra. It's actually more logical to say that this is what the Bryce was saying, like the answer we gave for Shmuel, because the Yamar the carbon, if you would say, as we had said in our question, that the Bryce was saying, oh, wait a second, what that there's a difference, says Reb Shimon. We would not have known nagach from raiva, because regarding carbon, we find that there's a more of a stringency regarding Raiva than regarding the Nagach. What is that? Nagach loy osaba oynis keratzen. Which sounds like what, if you would say, like as we had assumed in our Havamina, in our question, that the Torah doesn't make the halacha of Nagach of oynis keratzen. Not a difficulty with that is, from where do we know this, that it was so obvious to the Tan of the Braisa, meaning to Reb Shimon, in saying a discrepancy between the Geach and Raiva, but Lav Einis Dedeksiv, but Lav Ratzin Dedeksiv. What do you mean? The Torah doesn't mention anything regarding carbon of the Halacha of Negeach to differentiate between Einis and Ratzin. It's actually only from the word that ultimately the Braisa does learn that from, which is from Omina Tzayin, that excludes Negeach, that we say cannot be brought as a carbon. But where do you ever see, in regards to Halacha of carbon, that there's a difference between Einis and Ratzin, that we say it's only regarding Ratzin that you can bring as a carbon, but when the gourd through Einis, that it could be brought as a carbon? Where do you ever see that to say that you don't know it now from the Halacha of Raiva? You don't. And Allah, look taller, rather says the Gemara, it's obvious like how we had answered, regards to the halacha of the ox being stoned, that the Torah already tells us as we taught the halacha in our Mishnah, it's only ki yigach, which the drash is b'lo shigachuhu, that we know there's a difference that the animal is not going to be stoned when it was ba'inis, when it was forced to do it, only when it did a baratzen, and therefore, again, we would have said that it's more lenient than the halacha of Raiva, and we would not have known it, and that's where Rabbi Shimon says we have to teach a separate halacha for the halacha of Negech and for Raiva, but again, that's not a difficulty on Shmuel, that ultimately, regarding such an animal that was Nagach, you could still have this Machlekes Rav and Shmuel when it was Nagach Ba'inis, if it's now going to be Kasha for carbon or it's going to be possible carbon. Now the Gemara goes back now that once we introduced this Braisa as a question on Shmuel, now the Gemara explains it. Amamar, the Tana of the Braisa that we just quoted said that Nagach Mashal Mesa Kaifer, an animal that gores has to pay kaifer. That's the stringency that applies to an ox that gores and kills a person. Whereas Raiva ain't a mishalem as a kaifer. Whereas that was the stringency that we said the other way around. Whereas, but an animal that sodomizes a person, then the owner of that animal does not have to pay kaifer. Now the Gemara asks, hey chedami, what's the case talking about? As the Gemara explains, ilei medir rava v'katla, if it's talking about where the animal sodomized a woman and killed her. So mali katala bekarno. So what would be any difference regarding an ox that kills a woman through goring with its horns? And Mali Katla Berevi, what's the difference if it killed her by sodomizing her? Either way, there should be a liability for Kaifer. Why are we saying that, oh, that Kaifer only applies to a Nagchen, to a Neugech? What do you mean? A Reva not? Why not? There should be Kaifer there too. So Ve'ela, the Rav of Loi Katla, so what are you going to say? That it was talking about where he had sodomized her and not killed her. Well then, Haidu Le Misham Kaifer, then that doesn't make it a stringency of Negech over Raiva, because the reason why by Raiva you're not paying Kaifer is not a leniency, it's Mishum Delei Katlohu, because there was no murder. If there's no murder, so then there's no Halach of Kaifer, but that doesn't make it into a leniency. So then how do we understand this side of the requirement that Reb Shimon was talking about? So Abaye explains, Lo'olam deRava v'lo Katla. Truthfully, it's talking about where the animal had sodomized the woman and not murdered her. But da'asyua lebedina v'katlua. But then the courts brought the woman to court and they killed her because through an act of bestiality, a woman gets murdered. Now, ma'a detema, you would have thought to say, as we continue to talk about mem alav, kaman dekatla dami, so it's like the animal killed the woman, which is, that's one of the reasons is that we don't want to have an animal to say, oh, this is the animal that killed the woman. Ultimately, on some level, this animal killed the woman, although not directly, but indirectly. And therefore, maybe we would have thought to say that actually in such a case, there would be the liability of the owner of the shor, kamash malan. That's what we're saying, that no, although that it killed the woman, that's not going to be a requirement for the owner of the shor to pay kaifer money, and it's only going to apply to the halacha of the shor nagach and not to Raiva. That's a stringency, although both of these oxen on some level killed the woman, but that's only going to be a requirement when it actually directly kills the woman. So therefore, kaifer is a stringency that we see by nagach and not by Raiva, and that's why had we said nagach, we would not have known, says Reb Shimon, the halacha of Raiva. That's one approach. Ravam, he says, no, lo'ilam de'rava v'katla. Actually, it's talking about that the animal did sodomize the woman and actually killed her through that act. Now, the Kakashalach says, Rav, now this that you had asked, Mali Katla Bekarnaim, then what's the difference regarding an animal that gores with its horns and kills a woman? Mali Katla Berevi, what's the difference if it kills through sodomy? either way, then there should be a liability of Kaifer regarding the case of Raiva too. And that says Rabbi, no, they're actually different. Karen, Kavanos Lahazik, the reason why there's an obligation of Kaifer by Karen is because, one, the characteristic of Karen, of goring with its horns, its intention is to cause damage. That is where the liability of Kaifer is. Hi, Kavanos Lahanos Asmahu. Here, the intention of the animal that sodomized the woman was for its own pleasure. There, the halacha is like Shein and Regel, which we say it has for its own pleasure. That has a different characteristic. And there's not going to be an halacha of Kaifer. So although the woman gets killed in that, there's no liability of Kaifer. And that's the stringency of Noigach over Raiva. Now, the Gemara says, B'mai Pligi. So what comes out, the difference that's a machlekes between Abai and Ravin and how they're interpreting this halacha of Raiva, is B'regel Shadurasal Gabi Tinik B'chatzar Nizik. It's regarding the animal, the foot of the animal that steps and kills a child in the courtyard of the damaged party. Whereas Rashi points out, because had it been in the Rishas HaRabim, then there is no liability according to anybody regarding the mazik of regel, as it says in the pasuk, it has to be ubir b'steach, has to be in that other person's field, as we taught in the beginning of the Masechta on the Gimel Beis. Now, it would be in such a case, it would be a ramification of this machlekes Abai and Rava, because now that an animal killed a person, it killed a child, la baya mishalm kaifer. According to Abaya, the owner of that animal would pay kaifer money, because although that there was no intention, lahazik, it wasn't Karen, it wasn't intention to kill a person, but he had explained the reason why by Raiva, the owner of the animal is going to be exempt, is because it's talking about a case as he described it, because the animal only did Raiva and didn't kill the woman. But if it would kill the woman, then of course, then there would be an obligation of Kaifer. It just said that we would have thought that it's a stringency because ultimately the woman was brought to court and then she was killed. But if she actually killed her, then there would be liability. So therefore here also, where the animal, although without Kavanos Lahazik killed the person, the owner of the animal has liability of Kaifer. Whereas according to Lerava, Le'mishal M'Kaifer, according to Rava, who said that it's only with Karen, which is Kavanos Lahazik, then there's a liability of Kaifer. Here where the animal was walking, which is Regel, and it killed a person, there's no liability of Kaifer according to Rava. Now the Gemara concludes this whole discussion, Tanika Vasei de Rav. We have a Brice that says, like Rav, regarding his machlekes with Shmuel, regarding the shur who had stadin, the animal that was taught to gore, that although we said that there's an exception according to everybody in our Mishnah, that it's not going to be put to death, there was a machlekes between him and Shmuel, could it be brought as a carbon or not? Rav said that it is kosher for a carbon. So we have a Brice that says, like him, shur who had stadin, the animal that was taught to gore, these bullfights, Einachayiv Misa, it's not obligated in death, the halacha of Mishnah, and Rav's halacha v'kashu legav mizbech. It's also kashu to be brought as a carbon on the mizbech, and the reason being is neishahu kama'usa, because it was like it was forced to, and therefore it's not something inherently wrong with the animal. It was the humans that are in charge of the animals that caused it to do this heinous act, and therefore it's not something wrong with it, and that's why it could be brought as a carbon on the mizbech.